The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Most Holy Christ, speak to us today. And may we have ears to hear. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I've gone into the phone booth and changed my outfit. I'm going to be bishop today because we are so blessed to have the confirmation of Mari in the Episcopal Church today. And you are going to have the miracle and the blessing of being the witnesses to that. It's good to be back with you, by the way. Our travels were good, but it's good to be back, and then I'm leaving right away. So I thought I'd drop in. All right. Joseph Campbell of the Power of Myth fame once said these profound words, "He who knows he knows doesn't know. He who knows he doesn't know knows." Paul Tillich put it another way, "Doubt is not the opposite of faith, but rather one of the true proofs of it." I think I've used both of those before, one of them fairly recently, but they really fit today, so here they are again. Let me add here that I often have said, especially to the ones who call themselves Christian but continue to rail against others as if they have it all right, that the greatest heresy one can harbor is believing you are God, or as smart as God, or that you know full well all of God's mind. Let me assure you that no one does. But unfortunately, so many seem to think they do. To be in line with this gospel today, we might put it this way: once you start believing you are among the righteous, that thinking alone means it's no longer true. It is much as I believe about those who ask me if I'm an ally to their predicament, be it racism or gay and lesbian people or indigenous people or any oppressed people, my response has always been, I can't be the judge of that. The only persons who can claim that title for me is the one who needs me to be an ally. Because if they don't believe I'm one, all the believing I have about that is hollow and small, inadequate, quaint, maybe even delusional. That's why I'm always amazed at people who claim to be Christians also claiming that they're among the righteous, and even more feeling so confident that they are that they feel compelled and called even to demean, admonish, and even curse those who they feel aren't. I'm sorry, but if you feel that urge coming on, I'm going to urge you to step back from the brink, take a deep breath, try to realize the line you have just crossed. We hear it today in people that say things such as, "I don't have a racist bone in my body," or such like. You may wish to believe that about yourself, but again, I would say you don't really reliably get to be the one who makes that decision. The Pharisee in this gospel today is such a person. His prayer is first and foremost a laundry list of just how good he is, how righteous, how pure, how right. He seems to be informing God of his godliness instead of pleading with God to show him the way forward. I want to be clear that Jesus doesn't offer this description, this comparison, in order to single out Pharisees. It was just an example people who were listening would truly get. He could have selected any group, and there were many who do the same thing. The same is true of the tax collector. It could be anyone else, but Jesus also knew, because of the great despising of tax collectors, that the people he was speaking to would get that too. In Joseph Campbell's koan, you see where both land. The Pharisee is the one who knows he knows. The tax collector, on the other hand, is the one who knows he doesn't know. Jesus is saying we all require mercy. We all have gone astray, and we will continue to. And because of that, we will all always need to fall on and call on the mercy and grace of God. Jesus is telling us that the first attitude will block you from living in the kingdom, essentially take you farther away from the dream God has for you and all God's children. And that the second one, going straight to a cry for mercy, will draw you ever closer to righteousness and to God, not farther away. Now today, we're going to be blessed with seeing a sacrament of the church right before our eyes. We will be given that gift by Mari, who has made a decision to confirm her baptismal vows and to follow Christ of her own choice and decision. We will witness her take vows, many of which many of you have done. Through her, we will be reminded of all that we vowed to in our vows and be called to them again. You will note that in our sacraments, we never declare. We never say to you after the sacrament, "Now you are perfect. Go and spread the news. Go and brag about how righteous you are." And while you're at it, declare to those that you are sure who have not done this or do things you don't approve of that they're unrighteous. Nowhere in these vows does it declare that you now are the judge of others, or that you are now qualified and empowered to say anything about another person's walk with God. If you think about it, the Pharisee in this gospel is pretty much saying he's arrived. He does everything right, and so he, in essence, doesn't really need God anymore. When you have it all right, why would you need God? But the tax collector realized, above all, his great need. That's the real point here, I believe. As Christians, we really don't ever arrive. That will only happen in the next life. For now, we're always growing, learning, developing, yearning. So for Mari and for everyone that is confirmed or baptized, they are not made more holy by doing this, more special, more righteous. All that is happening is their public recognition that God is in charge, and that to live in the fullness of God's mercy and grace, we must decrease so that God might increase. You will note that the Pharisee jumps right in the middle of the October begathon by patting himself on the back for tithing, as he was prescribed to do that by his faith. Now, as I've told you, I believe in tithing. I think it's a pretty good gauge of devotion and thanksgiving to God through giving back what we believe without God we wouldn't have anyway. I practice it myself, but I don't believe it makes you righteous or any more special in the eyes of God. God will not love you one bit more or less if you pledge all of your income or not one bit of it. But what Jesus knew is that as humans who trust or have faith in God, that we need it. We need it inside us. We give back to thank God for the incredible, non-judgmental, unconditional love God gives to us. Jesus knew we needed that. It was not so that we might be holier in God's eyes. There's not a checklist of to-dos that make us holier or more righteous. There's no righteousness merit badge one will get if you do just enough. In fact, the concept of grace is exactly the opposite. Nothing is required. Karl Barth, one of the greatest Protestant theologians to write in many people's minds, was once asked to sum up faith, especially Christian faith. He had just written 10 volumes of complex theology, including his famous Church Dogmatics. Now, I just want to tell you, the Church Dogmatics are the kind of thing you might read if you're suffering from severe insomnia. Most of it you have to read 12 times to even understand what it's trying to say. But when asked this question, to sum up his Christian faith, he reportedly responded by singing back to the questioner, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." But this day, I believe that is one of the most profound, truthful, and righteous responses. Barth knew, for all he knew, it came back to that very simple principle. She who knows she knows doesn't know. She who knows she doesn't know knows. Mari, you have so impressed me with your faith and with the stance you have that openly says you don't know everything and that you're still learning. There's nothing more important than that, I believe, in following Jesus Christ. And may you never lose it. And may you never think you've arrived, but instead may you always be on the path, searching, walking with others, sharing your doubts and your joys. If you do those things, you'll be honoring the vows you're about to take today. And though it's not yours to claim, I will say you will be, as I have witnessed you being up to today, on the path of righteousness. And if you do that, if you do that, we do that, we will understand what this parable today is about. My beloved, I've said these words to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.